This podcast replay is brought to you by KSDT CPA, one of South Florida's largest and one of the country's fastest growing accounting firms. KSDT CPA is a full service firm that also excels in crypto. Visit them at KSDTCPA.com or call 305-670-3370.
All right, there he is, the man, the myth, the legend that is Cameron Wolf, ready to join us and rock and roll a little bit. We'll get to the Dolphins and Sony Michel in just a minute. But congratulations to your Sixers. I thought the Heat would be a little bit more in control of this series. I still think Harden is close to cooked as it is, but he's finding a little bit of a fumes left in that gas tank that he's dragging around. But Embiid, there is no answer for Embiid for the Miami Heat. None. He froze. It's not the day you need to freeze. I need you to talk so I can rest a little bit there, Cam. So we get Cam, and he freezes. Tell you. That's my luck. You guys have to lower the volume on the commercials. They are way too loud. Besides watching Sony Michel twice a year with the Pats, I was never overly impressed. He's a good player. Yes, now we got you.
Yeah, sorry.
We have no answer for Embiid. Your boys.
No. He's the most dominant big man in basketball. I don't care what the MVP voters say. It's a big difference, right? A big difference when he's on the court versus he's not. So I'm excited for tonight's game five, man. You know, a lot of Heat fans were in my mentions talking about Heat in five, and it was going to be easy work even without Joel. And it's different. It's different. So I'm eager. I'm not going to talk too much because it's a big game tonight. But I do feel good about the Philly boys. You know, I think James Harden's coming back at a different level. Embiid is balling. And the Heat have not been shooting the ball well. So, you know, we'll see.
I think they've made too much of that. I think it's their defense that would trigger the offense. That's really the problem. And I keep saying that what you have to do is – you can't put Bam on Embiid the entire time because he'll foul out. So what you do is what you've kind of been doing, but you need to stop everybody else. Let Embiid get his points, bro. You're not going to stop him anyway, so why give away those fouls? If you want to give away fouls, if Deadman wants to play today, if he can, or you're saving, brother, I'd hammer him with 12 of those. You know what I mean? And make sure hit that thumb a couple of times. You know, that's what I would do with those guys. But my perimeter defense, I'd be playing more Caleb Martin today, and I'd be going after Harden and Maxey and those guys. To me, that's what the Heat has to do. They have to eliminate the perimeter. You're not going to eliminate Embiid. So Embiid's not going to beat you by himself. What's beating you is that the other guys are playing off of Embiid. So let Embiid get his stuff, but stop everybody else. That's what I think the Heat need to do. But that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, but the scary part about that is Embiid didn't even go off in game 3 and 4. You know, he had a very, average game offensively. And so those other dudes were eating. So if you let Joel really heat up, then I don't know if it's a close game, you know.
Let him heat up.
I don't know because regardless, Maxey's going to get his. He's the fastest dude on the court. James Harden's going to hit some step-back threes, and you got to go after him. The problem is the only guy they don't have an answer for is Embiid. They have an answer in some capacity for all these other dudes. They don't have an answer for Embiid. Bam. He's not big enough. He's not strong enough. He can't do anything with Joel.
Nope. And we keep saying with Bam, and we got to stop already. Well, is he going to take the next step? It's not in him, bro. It's not in him. He doesn't have it in him to be a dog on offense. He's incredibly passive on offense. He'll get his points and whatever, but he doesn't demand it. You know what I mean? He doesn't feel like he has to at times take over some. Whereas Alonzo Mourning, he wasn't going to go without you giving him the ball. He was going to say, give me the ball now. And you had to dump it in a zone. And because those kind of guys are built that way. And unfortunately, we keep waiting for something from Bam that just naturally is not in him. It's not who he is.
Big O, sometimes guys are just content being Robin, man. Some guys just want to be sidekicks. Sometimes they don't want to be the superhero. It's fine. You know, we're not all built to be superheroes. So I think that Bam is content being Robin. Problem is, I just don't know if they have a super Batman there. I love Jimmy. I just don't know he's a good enough Batman to get you where you need to go.
No, it's all the other guys that have to become the Robins. That's kind of what this team is. And so if they're not playing defense, I would hope that I would expect Gabe Vincent to play tonight because he can play some defense. And instead of everybody talking about Duncan, dude, Caleb Martin's the guy that I would be playing in this game tonight because he can also make threes, but he can defend. And so, you know, Lowry at this point, I know he says he hasn't had any soft tissue injuries and all that, but look at your age and look at your body, bro. You don't take care of yourself. I mean,
Big O, you've been talking about James Harden being cooked, man. I don't know what Kyle Lowry is if James Harden is cooked. Kyle Lowry.
By the way, I wasn't a fan of the contract. I wasn't a fan of the contract because I figured you can get the first year out of Jimmy and Lowry, but the back end of those contracts are going to be terrible. They just are. They're going to be terrible. It is what it is. So we'll see what happens tonight. All right, let's get to Sony Michel.
Yep.
I like the acquisition. I was a big Sony Michel guy when he came out of the draft, but I got to take the L because he has never been able to stay healthy or consistent or reliable. He's had injury history. I think he's had some fumble history too with the Patriots. Yep. And I know he played well for the Rams last year. The only thing I'm trying to tell Dolphin fans is don't think he's a savior. Just hope that he's been able to kind of figure things out to stay on the field because he doesn't lack the talent. The Lord blessed him with the talent to be a good running back, but he has just not been able to find consistency. And because of that, I would tell Dolphin Nation, be careful. Unfortunately, Sony hasn't been reliable. Your thoughts?
Right. So I think the signing was fine. I think they signed him 1 year, $2 million deal. I think the thing you have to understand with Sony Michel is his days of being a lead feature back are over, in my view. And so I think you're signing Sony Michel to be a part of a rotation. And so you already have Raheem Mostert. You already have Chase Edmonds. You already have now you have Sony Michel. You have Alec Ingold, and those are going to be your top four backs on your roster. And so I don't know if Gaskin makes this roster. I don't know if Akhmet makes the roster. Maybe one, definitely not both. But those four guys I mentioned are going to be your four backs. And so you'll have a role for each of them. And so Sony Michel's issues have been injuries, his ability to stay on the field, his ability to do all those other things. But if you're playing Sony Michel 8 to 10 carries or touches a game versus, you know, 18 to 20, I think you get a better version of him, a more healthy version of him. And the one thing in the Mike McDaniel history, when you watch San Francisco running backs, is that they find a way to use all of their backs in a variety of ways. And so I think fantasy football holders are going to hate this team because there's not going to be a back that's going to get 100 yards consistently. You're going to have a conglomerate that gets 100, 150 yards, and nobody's going to be the guy. And so I think that's why bringing Sony Michel makes sense. He's an inside runner. When you didn't really have that role on this team, you had, you know, Mostert's going to be a fast dude on the outside. Chase Edmonds going to be your top receiver who can do some things in and outside as well. And then Sony Michel can be your short yardage. Yeah, he can be your guy along with Ingold to do a lot of those short yardage situations, to be able to use the third and shorts and goal line situations. And everybody has a role. And I think that's how you'll see it fit. So as long as your expectations are, you know, the right way and not that say, oh, Sony Michel's coming home, he's going to be a 1,000-yard rusher. No, I just don't see it. I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. That's just kind of that's a great way of looking at it with Sony. It adds really good. Hopefully he stays healthy too. That's also going to be the key for him. But I think you make a great point that if he's just a rotational guy, now you're not putting him in the amount of risk that you normally would if you would be featured. And what you said at the beginning is so right. He's seen those opportunities are gone already at this point to be the featured guy. And in today's NFL, dude, they're not looking for those kind of cats anymore.
No, there's like four or five of those dudes in the league, you know, and even some of those dudes are breaking down. I mean, Derrick Henry is one of those dudes, but he got hurt last year because his workload was too much. Christian McCaffrey, he's one of those dudes. But guess what? He's been getting hurt recently.
Oh, he breaks
his workload is too much, you know. Joe Mixon's probably the one guy who I think is truly carrying that lead load who hasn't got hurt. And hopefully, knock on wood, I'm not jinxing him. But there's not those backs these days who are 25 to 30 carry guys who can consistently carry the load. Teams are figuring out, hey, we need two or three backs to figure it out, a receiving back, an inside back, and do it all back, and we'll make it work. And I think that's what you're seeing with the Dolphins now. So, I mean, if we look at this thing full picture, I think the Dolphins are completing a lot of their offensive positions. We talked about holes coming in. I mean, center might be the last one that people would say on the offensive side of the ball that needs to some competition to be filled there, although I could see them just running in with Dieter and being fine with that. But overall, they're trying to cover a lot of the holes. Receiving room is set, tight end room is set, quarterback room is set, and now the running back room is set the way it'll be. I don't think there's going to be any more significant adds there. So your offense is coming in together. I'd imagine there's going to be at least another offensive line signing between now and training camp, and then you'll get the full view of what the 2022 Dolphins roster is.
Jamie says, Big O, I think Sony will be a third down and sometimes red zone back on this roster to help get some tough yards. What I would say to Jamie, and I don't know if you agree with me on this, is a lot of their backs can do a lot of the stuff. A lot of the backs can do maybe not short yardage everybody, but a lot of those backs are going to be able to be third down backs, you know, a short yardage back, pass catching backs. They really try to get guys that are versatile. So that way they can play them in many different ways. So I don't think that Sony will be just that label, just like I don't think Chase will be just one label either.
Yes. And a lot of it, honestly, is going to be a lot of the hot hand vibes. You know, if you watch the Patriots or the 49ers these days, a lot of times it'd be interesting because they would have a surprise inactive one week based on the game plan. Like it might, for example, you know, all of a sudden Chase Edmonds is inactive and you're like, what? And maybe their game plan this week is to be physical. We want to run the ball downhill, or maybe it's Mostert, or maybe we want to get our receiving backs and Sony Michel's down. So I think a lot of times you're going to see them riding the hot hand. And because of that, maybe one back doesn't get that love that they normally would. So I think you'll see Mike McDaniel really use his creative juices. You know, I know their running back coach, Eric Studisville, he likes everybody to be complete back. But I think you'll see them used a lot and their specific roles and kind of go from there. But like you mentioned, Edmonds, he's a guy who can he can line up as a receiver. So I wouldn't be shocked to see, okay, certain formations where Sony Michel's in the backfield and they move Chase Edmonds out to slot receiver.
Right.
And you get both of your backs in that way and you get a little bit more diverse versatility on offense. Or Raheem Mostert, use him as a motion guy and use him on sweep plays and use his speed out on the outside. So the variety gives you the ability. And like you mentioned, let's just be real, all three of those guys have injury histories. Chase Edmonds has never played 16 games as a starter in his career. Raheem Mostert's coming off a serious injury. Sony Michel's coming off his injury. So you got three injury-prone dudes. You know, hopefully one of them stays healthy by the end of the year. That's your hope. So you kind of piece them together, and you think that you have a good backfield with the conglomerate instead of trusting one of them.
Yeah, exactly. It's we had the injury-prone receivers. This year it'll be the injury-prone running backs. Speaking of love, not that it's going to mean anything in victories, but the Dolphins this week and weekend with everything with Formula One, I'll say this, throughout this offseason, Mike McDaniel has connected more with his players than Brian Flores did in 3 years. So I'm just saying, it's just pretty impressive what's gone on. If he can't get the most out of his guys, then he did a shitty job of connecting, because he has connected enough that maybe those guys are going to sell out for him a little bit more when they're out there. Of course, winning is always solves everything, but
winning is certainly important, but it's interesting. I was out at Formula One this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and saw a lot of the guys out there, a lot of the players we saw in the videos, but it was interesting seeing some of the videos come out of Mike McDaniel on the track level, posing with pictures with his sunglasses on. He's all up in the music video with his players, having a good time. It was funny to see, because I don't remember the last time a head coach was kind of like vibing with his players like he was one of the dudes. And so I know the players like him. I know they are liking the different atmosphere because, as you mentioned, you know, there's a whole different atmosphere with Brian Flores, who's a little bit, you know, tougher, a tighter, you know, kind of stern type way of doing things, where Mike McDaniel's a lot looser and a lot, you know, a lot more, guys might say, fun. And so, you know, that makes it easier to be around. Now, does that translate to wins? We'll find out in September. But I do think there's something to be said about building a connection, particularly with your quarterback, you know, just seeing how him and Tua vibe. All that can do is build a guy's confidence. So we've talked a lot about Tua. Is he the guy? Is he not the guy? You know, this is an opportunity where he has a coaching staff that is behind him, that's giving him the verbal and the emotional support. And so it's on Tua to be able to do it. You know, they gave him the receivers, they gave him the support. And I love to see it, because if you draft a quarterback, you should be behind him. So I think that's my biggest takeaway, you know, from him being out there with all the guys, him being at the luau with Tua, him being at these different events, that he is giving these guys the support they need, and they feel it and they love being around him. And so that means something when you're going in the trenches with somebody. You want to have somebody that you know has your back and that you believe in. And so I'm excited to see what it comes together, man. Like, I'm trying not to overhype it, because we're in May and football's still 4 months away, but I do think there's some value in seeing these guys all be you know, jovial and happy-go-lucky with their coach.
No doubt. I'm with you there. I think it's important to have some camaraderie before you start going into, you know, these kind of tough situations. And, and if there's a connection already, then maybe the sacrifice is also going to be made too at the same time. I'm with you there. Follow him on Twitter, by the way, Cameron Wolf. Catch his work there at the NFL Network. Cam, as always, thank you for taking some time, my brother. We'll catch up later in the week.
Appreciate you. Rest that voice, man. Get trying, healthy, bro. Man. A lot of honey and tea.
Yes. That's what I'm working on right now. All right, my man. Thank you. All right, appreciate you.
Have a good one.
You got it. Bye. There you go. Cameron Wolf, baby, and KSDT. They help you in so many ways. It's not just your taxes, but if you're buying a business, they will help assess that business to make sure before you make that purchase, they will go through everything in that business to make sure that you're making the proper investment and you're going to make money. Your will, you know, if you're looking at what's going to happen towards the end of your life and how everything is going to be, you know, kind of set up, you can do all of those things. KSDT does a lot more than just personal taxes and business taxes. They do a lot more. So check it out. Go to KSDTCPAs.com. That is Cameron Wolf. All right. There he is. Are you recovered? Are you doing all right?
I'm all right. I'm holding up all right, man. It was a rough night last night, for sure.
Yeah, because I can imagine it's got to be rough on anybody that counts on James Harden.
Yeah, he let us down last night, for sure. It's been a rough series for James, man. There has to be a lot of changes done. But I want to give props to the Heat, man. I like to give it like I take it. And I thought the Sixers were going to win this series. I'm not going to make any excuses. The Heat were the better team. And they played a really physical defense. They got a lot tougher dudes, and that's what Philly's missing. So props to them. But
it's just a better organization, top to bottom. That's really what it is. I think in the end, that's what's going to come through year in and year out when you compare Miami and Philly right now. Philly doesn't have their shit together. Miami's had their shit together for 25 years. So this is like nothing new for them, what they've done, because this is what's normal for them. This is like their eighth Eastern Conference Finals in, I don't know how many years, almost like 15 or 18 years or something. It's stupid what they do. But, you know, it's just a great – look, man, we watch the Marlins. They don't know what they're doing yet, right? Inter Miami hasn't figured it out. The Dolphins, we're hoping that this is now them figuring it out, but they haven't figured it out. The Panthers, looks like they are now starting – to figure it out. But the Heat, they're the one organization in town that they're the example, they're the pinnacle, and everybody else is trying to get to that point because they just do things the right way, top to bottom, 99% of the time. It's weird.
Yeah, there's a system to winning, and there's a you know, I hate the word culture because I think it's overused, but I do think there's a method to how you build a type of program where you can kind of insert different players. Like I was just watching last night, Max Strus, all series, a guy who was undrafted, kind of developed, and he might have been the second or third best player in the series all throughout. And it's just crazy, you know, there's certain programs you can just plug and play. So like I thought, and I still think, that Philly was the more talented team in this series. But the Heat had the better system, the better culture, the better hustle, the better coaching. And that came, that won out. And so I think that stuff matters. You know, I think Philly, you know, whether it's a new coach, whether it's tougher players, I think they can get there where they can get over Miami. But right now they weren't there. They weren't, you know, I would have loved to see the series if Embiid was healthy the whole time. But watching game five and game six, you just saw a team that even if they found a way to get past the Heat, they weren't ready yet. And this Heat team, they're built, they play above their talent. And I love Jimmy as the fit for them, man. I walked away last night and just was disappointed even more that Philly traded him to Miami because he's perfectly built for what they want to do. You know, this is really
that's part of being a good organization is identifying the right people and not the wrong people like James Harden. Where you and I disagree on, Embiid's the most talented player, but Miami is way deeper than Philadelphia.
No, absolutely.
Miami is more Philly is not more talented than Miami.
So there's
Miami's like way. Miami's like 10 or 11 deep, dude. Philly's not 10
correct.
Or 11
deep. Correct. Philly might be 6 or 7 deep, right?
Yeah.
But I guess when I refer to talent, I refer to high-end talent. I refer to the best players on the court. So
it's just one guy. Harden's done. Harden's not Bam or Jimmy. He's neither one of those guys. Both of those guys are more important than James Harden any day of the week and twice on Sundays. Embiid is the only guy that nobody can match. He's a freak.
So Embiid's the most dominant big man since Shaq. I've said that.
I corrected you yesterday. Tim Duncan.
Duncan. Tim Duncan won more titles. They had a better team.
No, Tim Duncan came after Shaq. Tim Duncan came out.
I know.
You have to say the most dominant since Tim Duncan, not Shaq.
I think that Embiid as a player was more dominant than Duncan. So that's my belief. Maybe I'm skewed, but to me, Duncan and the Spurs.
Mr. Fundamental.
Yes. They were built.
That guy's so dominant that he did everything right.
He was very good. I don't know if he was truly dominant on the level that Embiid was.
Oh my God.
Wow. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what my view is. So I guess my point is that, look, I think that Embiid's the best player on the court. Jimmy's the second best player on the court. This is where you and I disagree. I think that Harden and Maxey, even though Harden, we needed more out of them, their top end talent at those two positions were better than anything that he'd had. And so what the drop-off is after those three, I'd say the Heat got probably positions 4 through 9 better. And so the depth of the Heat.
Wow. Yeah, I just – Harden for me, he doesn't belong anywhere near several of Miami Heat players. I'll take Max Strus over James Harden right now.
Right. And so here's where you're differentiating on different things, right? Because Max Strus is a role player. He's not having the ball in his hand in a given player. He's making open shots, which he's playing the great role of a number 4 or number 5 player on your roster.
I know.
And we did not have that. So if Danny Green is making down shots like that, then maybe he looks like Max Strus, but he doesn't.
But Danny Green is 39 years old, bro.
Right. But
there's a reason why. Danny Green is not Danny Green anymore.
Right. And that's to me what the biggest difference is. Your Max Struces are better than your Danny Greens. Your Tyler Heroes are better than your Shake Miltons. And so if every single player 4 through 11 is better than every single player we have 4 through 11, that's why you win the series. Not because your 1-2-3 is better than 1-2-3 there. Bam, I barely recognized Bam throughout the series. You know, Bam disappeared for much of the series, particularly offensively.
Bam will never be that guy offensively. Never.
And Tyler Hero was up and down, and that's the 3 guy there, right? And so,
they're 10 deep.
And
see, the difference is Philadelphia needs Maxey to do it every night because they have nobody else. But if Tyler doesn't do it, then Strus does it. And if Strus doesn't do it, then Butler does. And if Butler
doesn't, somebody else.
Hell, if you give Caleb Martin 25 minutes, he'll do it too.
And that's where we absolutely agree. I think the Heat might be the deepest team in the league. And that to me is a big asset. That's why they got past Philly, is because they were much deeper than them, not because they necessarily had the high-end talent.
And better coach.
Oh, absolutely. Better coach.
Doc is not even close to Spo. Not even in the same planetary place. They're not even in the same solar system. Let's put it that way.
You will not get a disagreement with me there. Yeah. I think they're much better coached, much deeper, more physical, and more out-hustled, right? The only thing I disagree with you, I think the top-end talent for Philly is better. But the problem is they're so inconsistent. They're so unorganized. And they don't play at the consistent level that the Heat played. And that's why they're going home. And the Heat are advancing. We saw it in game three.
Are these idiots really going to re-sign Harden? Because I get that they gave up a ton of stuff. But, you know, sometimes maybe you got to, you know, like I tell my man Omar, who refuses to take an L at any time whatsoever. Like Omar will never admit that he got something wrong. But what's it called? This is one where you may have to, because if you actually give this guy a long-term contract, I mean, that is catastrophically stupid.
So what I would do if I was a GM here, and I'm not, you know, people will tell me to stick to football, but I would let him go ahead and pick up his player option. He's got a player option that's $45, $46 million, way more than I want to pay him. It's a way too high salary. But for me, that gives a one-year prove-it situation. He says he's going to work this offseason. I don't know if I believe him, but we're going to see. He said he's going to try to get himself back in shape. And he said that. So at least he has an awareness that he's out of shape.
Did they put a half court of titties? You got a half court of titties now? Is that what it is?
The first step is admittance, right? You got to get past denial. So he doesn't deny that he's out of shape. So now we have to get him to the point that he's actually doing the work and getting back. I don't think he'll ever be Houston James Harden, but he has to be where he can be conditioned to play deep into the second half. All through the series, he was aggressive in the first half, and he laid off in the second half. And so he had a hamstring injury, but I don't like to make excuses. I think that he has to get better this offseason. So I put him on get him the player option, make some changes in the coaching staff, bring in some better role players, run it back one more year. If he can't go next year, if he's not the guy, then you move on after that. And so that gives you 2 years of James Harden. You're not committed long term. I would definitely not give him that 5-year max extension. That would be the last thing I did. But I also don't get rid of him after 1 year, really one half a year in Philly. I give him a whole nother year, a whole nother offseason with Embiid, and we see if it works.
One knucklehead about another knucklehead. Amari Stoudemire says James Harden's poor play in game 6 looked intentional because it seems like he doesn't want Doc as the head coach.
I mean, I wouldn't disagree. I don't know.
Here's the problem I have with all of this.
Yeah.
James Harden, who the hell are you, bro? What have you done?
Right.
What have you done? All you ever do is complain and leave one situation after another, and you whine like a little bitch, and you choke like a dog in every big moment you've ever been in since the Heat actually seduced you back in Oklahoma City and made you look like a fool. So, you know, you have been a notorious choker. You know, James Harden has to get to a point where he stops pointing fingers and looking in the mirror and blaming himself for the position that he's put himself in.
And there's no excuses for James. I think he deserves a lot of this criticism. A lot of times I think that sometimes the criticism is too harsh. Not in this situation. I think he deserves everything that he's getting. He's supposed to be a star. He did not play like a star. He disappeared. He had 0 points in the second half. He had the same amount of points as you and me, Big O. We had the same amount of points as James Harden in the second half.
No, the bad part is when he starts looking like me. That's not the good thing. Yeah, he needs to look like you. You're in shape. He can't look like me, bro. You know, then he needs to join me here on the radio.
He's got out tough, man. They put PJ Tucker on my man, and he just disappeared. He was not ready for the physicality. And so that was the biggest disappointment for me, man. I think he's got to get better. He's got to get tougher. I don't know. He's 32. I mean, it is what it is at this point. I will say on the whole he's throwing a game. If we want to make the jokes about Miami, why would James Harden give up a free ticket to Miami in game seven if that was a table
right,
for him in the strip clubs?
Yeah.
Man, it's a very tough situation for Philly because they're all in. They've got to run it back with Harden, but he hasn't been the guy for a while. He's got to prove the narrative wrong. I hope he takes it personally. That's why I want.
I don't see him as that guy. That's my problem with him.
I hope so.
I don't think he's that guy.
So even last night, and he got criticized about it a lot, but Joel Embiid was very honest in the post-game comments where he was like, hey, I think we all brought him here, expecting him to be Houston James Harden, and look, he's not that guy anymore. Maybe he's just a facilitator. I wanted him to be more aggressive, but maybe that's just who he is. And people were like, oh, you're not supposed to throw your teammate under the bus. That's what you did with Ben Simmons. Nah, I don't want to hear that. If I'm telling my teammate that up in person, then I can tell the public that as well. That's my challenge to him. If you're not tough enough to take that, then you're not built for the city.
Plus, so it also gets to the point where you insult everybody's intelligence, too, because we know what we're seeing. Don't tell me what we're seeing. And then what are you going to do? Sit there in the podium and say, oh, James is great. He's fantastic. He's just as
good. I hate that. That's fake.
Right, exactly.
It's fake. And so everybody's like, oh, Embiid needs to be, you know, say these things and not in the public eye. No, if you need somebody, you need to challenge somebody to be better, you challenge them to be better.
Yeah.
If Embiid takes onus on himself after a couple seasons when he was out of shape in the fourth quarters, you couldn't play him more than 4 minutes because his conditioning was bad. He told you that. He said, my condition is bad. I need to get better. And guess what? He got his conditioning better, you know, and now he, you know, as a 7'2", 280-pound big man, he's playing 38, 40 minutes a game. Now we got to get him to stay healthy 82 games, but I'll take the fact that he got his conditioning better. If it's important to you, you take that criticism personally and you go get better. And so I hope that Harden does this offseason. They need it, or Philly's never going to win.
By the way, did you see Trae Young's tweet?
No, what'd he say?
Pull it up, Sean. Let's show Cam Trae Young's tweet last night, because they showed a picture of the Heat advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? And in that picture, you look at it and you'll see Tyler and Oladipo and Butler and, you know, all these guys, right? And Trae goes, y'all better find a way to put Gabe Vincent up there too.
Right. That's funny.
Hey, but you know what? That Gabe makes Vincent, me like Trae Young even more. Because we talk about honesty.
Yep.
That's him saying, yo, you better put that kid there because he balled against me.
Yeah.
He made my life miserable.
He's one of the reasons
why I'm watching them on television right now. And I love that Trae Young said that, because guys like Gabe Vincent deserve that kind of love. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, I know that it tires you, the culture thing. But let me just tell you, for 25 years, we watched Udonis Haslam. Okay, I covered him as a fat kid at Miami High, winning a state title for Frank Martin before he became a college coach. Okay, and he went to Florida and was the fat kid again, dominating. And then he had to do the Europe thing, and then Miami got him, and he lost a human being. And all of a sudden, he became a hell of a player, and he'll be in the rafters when it's all said and done. And whether it's Isaac Austin losing 90 pounds or watching Keon Dooling resurrect his career, this has been going on for 25 years. The stories of the Gabe Vincents of the world and all that kind of stuff, this is what Miami has done, resurrecting so many careers under Pat Riley and this staff. And so I you're right. The culture thing might be worn out in other places, but this is the one place where I give it to him, bro, because you come in as a player, and if you sell yourself to them, James Johnson played his best basketball here. He never played. He was a journeyman. Whiteside played his best basketball here. Tyler Johnson, all those guys that never really did anything else.
Right.
They played their best basketball moments here. And and it's because there is a culture that if you do come here, it's proven you will get better no matter what.
One of the most consistent organizations really of the last, you know, 15, 20 years, you know, and obviously they got the prominence, you know, during the Big Three era, but even outside of that, you know, even before that, when Dwayne got here, it kind of started the wheel. And I think that, you know, I got nothing but respect. You know, I had to talk a little bit because I'm a Philly fan and I had to beat him, but I've got a lot of respect. You know, there's certain organizations I don't have a lot of respect for. I have a lot of respect for that Miami organization. They do things the right way. You know, I'm not a big user of the culture word. I think it's overused, but I think if one team can use that word, it's the Heat. Because they do it. And that depth is something. You know,
the Ravens have a culture, whether you like it or not. The effing Ravens have a culture, and they've had it for different offenses, different players. You're a better player when you go to that organization. The Patriots have had their culture. They will make you better. They will find a spot for you, whatever. There are certain organizations that do cross that threshold, that they have a system. They have a way of doing things. And when they bring you in, as long as you kind of follow those steps, you will have the same kind of success that they've been having for many, many years. That's kind of the way it is, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I told my buddy, I got a close buddy who's a season ticket holder, and I go to some games with him during the year. We talk on our group chat. I'm like, hey, man, I will begrudgingly root for the Heat against the rest of these Eastern Conference teams. Like, I wanted Philly to win, but I'd rather see the Heat in the finals than Giannis or definitely Boston. So, you know, I will hope for Miami. I'm not a sour grapes guy. You know, Miami.
Hey, ESPN might need you for a little extra work too, bro. I know you're on ESPN NFL Network, but they might bring you over, or CBS or somebody, or NBC or something. They might bring you over. You know, you never know. So you might get a little extra work.
So I covered a lot of Heat. So I know all these players really well. I was there with Jimmy Butler's first intro press conference. I still remember the first time I got there. We got there a couple hours early because we were doing TV. From there, and the first dude who was there in the gym before they set even the press conference stuff up was Tyler Hero, shooting in the gym, had his music up super loud. He saw us come in and he was like, hey man, sorry, is this music too loud? He's bumping rap music and whatnot. I'm like, hey man, now you're good, do your thing. And that's from that point I was like, hey man, this guy's gonna be good. And I already knew Jimmy was good from my Philly time, and so I got a lot of respect for these dudes. They made the run in the finals in the bubble. They can make another finals run this year. Wouldn't shock me. So, you know, I don't think I'll be covering them anytime soon, but I'll be watching them and hoping they give these other teams hell like they gave us.
I'm just hoping that the Dolphins can get to the point where they can give you guys the kind of coverage that you know, it's fun, the playoffs and things like
that. Man, you and me both.
So the schedule comes out yesterday, and let's ask you, I love the first month. Because we get a good feel for the Dolphins right from the get-go in those first four games. Your thoughts?
My thoughts is they better come out hot early in the season. You know, last year they started 1-7. We've talked a lot in the Brian Flores era. They start off slow, right? And so it's a new coach. Hopefully that turns over. But September and October, they've been a really bad team, and they turn it on November and December. They can't afford that this year. They don't have that luxury. They start off with a softer schedule early. And then that end of the schedule, the last six games really stand out to me. It's a difficult point in that schedule where they go to San Fran and L.A. and Buffalo and three back-to-back games. And then I think they have Green Bay on Christmas, and then they have at New England. And that five-game stretch against teams that are probably playoff contenders, I think, is going to define the season. But they've got to start off strong. You know, that first nine games, 6-3, 7-2, that sort of thing. I think it's important to come off to that type of start. So I think it worked out well, honestly, for Miami, as best as you could hope for it. The end, you're going to have a stretch. And I think you'd rather have it at the end of the season when you're at your best, guys have chemistry, than early in the season where you fall into a hole. So that's probably the biggest thing that stood out to me. They got two national TV games, so not three. A lot. But
three. No, we three. Sean's right.
Christmas
on
is not
Christmas
a
day. There's only three games. The league played
so
on
right.
Saturday.
Those three
games, every time they're on, that's the only game in town, dude.
So two prime time games, three national TV games. You're right. Two prime time, three national TV. That's fine. Because they got the early game. It's kind of like the Thanksgiving. They're trying to take over Christmas. I did find it interesting. And the NFL would never.
They don't need to try to take over. They just need to show up and they'll take over whatever the hell it is.
But I'll tell you this, and obviously I work for NFL Network, so hopefully nobody gets mad at me for this. But I thought it was interesting because it's the first time in forever they've had Christmas Day games. That's always been the NBA games, right? And so this year, they not only came on Christmas, they came with a lot of the smoke that threatens NBA teams.
Yes.
Like, look at some of those schedules. You got Miami, Green Bay. That's the Milwaukee market and the Miami market. You're telling me that the NBA wouldn't have wanted to put Milwaukee and Miami, which may be the Eastern Conference Finals, on a Christmas day? And now they're not going to be able to do it because that's blocked off there. They've got Arizona on there. That's the Phoenix Suns. You think they weren't going to want to put the Phoenix Suns there on Christmas Day? They also have Dallas in that game. The Mavs are still going into game seven.
Yeah. And the Mavs actually win something compared to the Cowboys. So, yeah, you're right actually. Yeah. Right.
So there's a lot of games in that market that you're like, man, not only did the NFL go after this Christmas Day, they said, we're going to take all your good teams and say, do what you do. So you're going to get a bunch of Knicks games and on Christmas Day, and Lakers and all the old school teams that are bad these days because they can't take their actual good teams.
Man, I didn't realize that. What's the third game? Because
the Phoenix Arizona's playing some team.
Tampa? It's Tampa?
Tampa. Arizona, okay. Tampa. So it's going to be a good – she doesn't have a basketball team.
But Rams, Broncos, Dolphins, Packers.
Rams, Broncos, I don't think is Christmas Day. I think it's Packers, Dolphins. It should be Cowboys, Giants, I believe.
No. He's looking at it right now. Sean's looking at the schedule. It's Rams. Open your mic, bro, because it's there.
It's got Rams and Broncos at 4:40 on CBS and Nickelodeon.
So Jokic and you know, anything.
That's it.
Right? Go ahead.
The Bucks are the night game at 8:20 against the Cardinals.
Giannis and CP3 and Booker. Uh-huh.
And then, of course, the 1 o'clock game was your Dolphins against the Packers.
That's what it is.
So Bucks. Yeah.
So no Dallas. It's the Broncos, Rams in that middle game. But, yeah, like you said, that's Denver. And that's the Lakers, probably. Or Clippers. They always get one of those games. So, yeah, the NFL came with the smoke heavy. And NBA is probably not going to be happy about it, but NFL's king. NFL's always been king.
Rams are the real team, not the Lakers anyway. So, you know, what the hell? The Lakers are nothing but fluff anyway. So, okay. All right.
So yeah, it's wild. But yeah, that was my view of the schedule, man. I think that is, you know, I thought it was interesting. They start at home, they end at home. Again, you know, they play the Patriots to start off the season, which they've done a lot. But I think that'll be a good challenge for them. There's been a lot of Mac and Tua talk. We're gonna hype that game up because of that. I bet you I'll be at that game. We talk about like the Dolphins being good. Obviously, I'm not a Dolphins fan, but I want the Dolphins to be good because that means that I get to stay home more. Trust me, I do not like to travel all through the year. So, I went to like Nashville like 7 times last year. Cool city, but I do not want to be in Nashville 7 times again this year. I want to be in Miami more. So that means I need to win. So I'm imagining I'm there for week 1, that game versus New England. It'll be a very fun game. And then I think they ended the season with a should be an easy game to me against the Jets. Maybe that's a game that you can clinch a playoff spot. You know, maybe if they have a great year, maybe you clinch the division that game.
I predict Skyler plays that game because the Dolphins are ahead of the Bills by like 6 games in the standing. So we're all right. Yeah, there you go. That's what's going to happen there.
Okay. So not Teddy, Skyler. They're going all the way down to Skyler. No.
Yeah, they don't really want to risk Teddy. They need to save him for the playoffs just in case they need him.
You say you're back in
the Jets. We'll give him Skyler. You know, we'll rest all the guys, you know, like, you know, Lynn Bowden and like Miles Gaskin will be the leading rusher, you know, those kind of things. We'll just throw all the third strings out there, you know, just
what record do you have the Dolphins in this scenario that Skyler's playing in game 17?
It's just, you know, a 13-4 record.
Oh my goodness. All right. Where's the blind fan buzzer? Sean.
Yeah. Where is it, Sean? Where's the blind ass fan alert there? Because I definitely deserve it. Go ahead, fire it off, Sean.
I look like blind ass fan alert. Look out, everyone! We've got a blind ass fan coming through.
There you go. By the way, Sean's got him 17-0 because he wants them to beat the prior record to end up 20-0 when it's all said and done. So,
so I definitely was a blind ass fan with the Sixers.
Yes,
you guys are blind ass fans with 17-0 and 13-4. I think the Dolphins will be better. I don't think they'll be 13-4. I think right. Right now, I think
12-5. Alex said 12-5. That's all right. I mean, it's okay. It's all good.
I think you'd be you should be happy with if 11-6 works out that way. I think that would be good for the Dolphins.
I know you don't really want to excite people too much and tell them that you really feel it's a 14-3 team, but that's all right. It's all good. Now,
I am not selling hope. That's one thing I will not do. Hopium, to Dolphins. Hopium.
Let's give us some hopium. Come on.
No bro. Hopium. I don't want hopium. Y'all to OD. I do not want the Dolphins fans to OD on the hopium.
I need a hopium.
I'll give you little hints throughout the offseason. I'm not gonna give you a full dose.
As a reporter, what are you looking forward to most seeing this offseason in your rookie camp this weekend, I'm saying?
So I won't be in rookie camp this weekend. I'm actually doing this while I'm at my family's house in Texas. Okay. My sister's actually graduating in a couple of hours. So she's getting her master's degree at Texas A&M Commerce. So
nice.
Down here this weekend.
There you go. Somebody has the brains in that family.
I know, right? It sure isn't me.
Yeah, what the hell happened to you, bro? Come on.
Hey, man. Hey, there's always a slacker in every family, right? Yeah. So
that's my role. You're the James Harden of the family.
I'm the James Harden of the family. It's the offseason, so I'm about to be in the clubs. I'm about to be on the beaches, in the yachts. So my shape is probably going to be a little rough. I'm going to come to training camp, a few extra pounds, you know. Yeah.
So, and this is your sister that's getting the master's degree?
Yes.
So yeah, she's the Embiid of the family. She's the dominant
one. Yeah. She's just shining, and she's just trying to. She needs more help. More help from the rest of us, and we're not here to give it. So we're here to support, though. We'll support her individual success. That's what I'm gonna do. So I will not be around for rookie minicamp, but I will be back next week to check out OTAs. Out there to see them play. So I think for me,
celebrate her graduation James Harden style by making it rain.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. If I'm the James Harden of the family, we got to do it right. We can't just like half do it.
All right. I'll make sure.
If there's one thing that James Harden's good at, is making sure to celebrate. And making sure you have a good time. So
you're in Houston. You said you're in Houston.
No, I'm actually in Dallas. I'm in Dallas. So I was in Houston earlier this week because I've got some family out there too. So I went to go see some of my family in Houston. Went to go see the rest of them here. So I'll be here through the weekend.
Well, first time I went to not first time because I used to go to Houston when I was a kid. But when I last went, the first time I went to Houston like years ago, I freaked out that like here, Spanish is normal to see signs in Spanish. Over there, Chinese signs. I'm like, I didn't realize how big the Chinese community is in Houston. That even the street signs and stuff will be in Chinese. And they're like, wow.
Yeah. So much diversity, man. Like, I know in Miami, they talk about it being a different culture. But to be honest, a lot of the culture is Latin culture, right? And so in Houston, it's everything. You're going to have like every type of Latin culture. You're going to have black, you're gonna have Chinese, you're gonna have white. Like, I don't even know what the majority is in Houston. I think it's just
but
10% of everything.
But a Spanish sign, I would not freak out in Houston. Okay, that's normal, obviously, because the Mexican community has always been enormous in Texas. But bro, when I started seeing Chinese signs, I'm like, wow, dude, that's impressive. That must mean, and I would imagine from the Yao Ming days, that probably also influenced a lot from back then. I don't know. Who knows? But
yeah, absolutely. There's a big, because like if you remember, Jeremy Lin played out there Houston. And I remember covering games down there in Houston, and there were literally the Chinese media that had three times as many media as the American media. Yeah. At the Houston Rockets games because of Jeremy Lin. So just it's a huge following. Like a lot of the Chinese community follows the NBA. And so we get caught in our bubble here in America and think that everything's America-based. But like F1 this past week and like some of these cities kind of teach you just how much international communities have views of our leagues, whether it be NBA, NFL, whatever it is. So definitely a big melting pot in Houston. I went to school out there, so I got to experience a lot of it firsthand.
Catch him at the NFL Network, not this weekend, because he'll be making it rain at his sister's graduation, which is a good thing. And then, of course, follow him on Twitter at Cameron Wolf and catch him twice a week doing his thing here with our KSDT CPA, Miami Dolphins NFL Report. Cam, have a great weekend, my friend. Congratulations to your sister. Thank you for taking some time, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys.
You got it. There you go. Cameron Wolf, baby. KSDT CPA.